Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Tet Vav Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, Kol nevelot mitztarfim zo im zo. All nevelot are mitztareif. It's not clear here from the Mishnah whether we're speaking about Tuma or Achila. And also not clear in the Mishnah whether we're speaking about nevelot from behemot to meot or from nevelot from behemot to horot. And the same thing with Kol shkatzim or shratzim mitztarfim zo im zo. Similar din with regards to sheretz. Again, it's not clear here whether it has to do with Tuma or Achila. Now we have a qualification of the Mishnah. Amar Rav, lo shanu, that's only true, elal inyan tumah, with regard to issues of tumah. Aval the inyan achila, when it comes to achila, torim bifnei atzman, tmeim bifnei atzman. This is only with regards to tumah, do we say that there's a tziruf over here, but with regards to achila, the torim and tmeim are different categories or different issues, which we'll explain in a second. But Levi amar, afilu l'achila nami mitztarfim. Levi disagrees and says, even by Achila, they are mitztareif. So the Milchas Rashi over here explains that he thinks that the machloki between Rav and Levi has to do with the issue of Isur Chalal Isur. Do you subscribe to any Isur Chalal Isur or do you not? So as far as Tuma is concerned, there are psukim that indicate that a Behemah Tmeya that dies and a Behemah Torah that dies are Tmeim. That is in Perek Yud Aleph in Sefer Vayikra, it mentions by the Behemah Tmeya. It says over there, the whole behemah, asher yim apresa parsa, the shesah, enu shosat, vigeira enu ma'alat, meim eim lachem, kol nogelem, yitma. And then he continues about, kol olech al kabab, v'chol chaya lechad arbat, meim eim lachem, kol nogem nivlatam, yitma ad arif, nose nivlatam, yichabes begadav, tamer arif, meim eim alachem. So there is tumat nivela that is associated with a non-kosher animal. And then it mentions by behemah Torah. Whereas by a behemah Torah, later on in the same perek, it says in pasuk lametet, chiyamut ben a behemah shilachem lo ochla, kosher animals, and ugev nivlata, itma ad arev. Bochel min nivlata yichabes begadav, etamei ad arev, and oset nivlata yichabes begadav, etamei ad arev. So as far as Tumah is concerned, they both have a din of Tumah, and it makes sense that they have the same shiur, and therefore they should be able to be combined. As far as Achila is concerned, there it's not clear that there is a isur of achilat nevela when it comes to a non-kosher animal. Because there in Parshat Re'eh, it says, lo tochlu kol nevela, agera shebi sharecha titnena v'achala, o machor lenachri, ke'am kadosh atad l'shem lokecha, lo tevashel gedi b'chalei bimo. There's a restriction against eating nevela. In Parshat Shmini, where it speaks about tumah, it mentions the din of tumah, both by the kosher animals and by the non-kosher animals. Therefore, they can be combined with regards to issues of Tumah or Tumat Nevelah. Whereas by the issue of Lotochlu Kol Nevelah, there's only a single pasuk that's found in Parshat Re'eh, which doesn't specify what it applies to. And what will determine what applies to is this din of Ein Isur Chalal Isur or Isur Chalal Isur. Rav, who believes that Ein Isur Chalal Isur, therefore the Isur Nevelah doesn't come and devolve upon an Isur of Behemat Me'ah. That means with regards to Achila, you're dealing with two different issues. You're dealing with the non-kosher animal, and you're dealing with the kosher animal that's a Nevela now, that died, and now is a Nevela. So Nevela and Behemah Tmeah are not the same Isur, and that's why they can't combine. So that's why by Achila, you can't combine them. By Tumah, they have the same din of Tumah, which is the fact that when they die, they have Tumah that is associated with them. On the other hand, Levi believes, and so the Milchos Rash explains it, the Kasavar Isur Chalal Isur. There is a din of Isur Chalal Isur, and therefore he's Kayav two. One from Behemat Me'ah, one from Nevela. Meaning that a non-kosher animal that dies has two Isurim associated with it. It has an Isur Tme'ah and an Isur Nevela. And because it has also an Isur Nevela, you can be mitzareif the Isur Nevela of the kosher animal to the Nevela that's associated with the non-kosher animal. That's the way Rashi explains the Machloket. He says the Machloket is very fundamental. It's about whether you subscribe to Ein Isur Chalal Isur or not. And that will determine whether you think you can be mitzareif them la'achila. Then Tosafot is bothered by that because he says this is a pretty standard machloket tanaim that we've seen a number of times with regards to whether Isur Chalal Isur or Ein Isur Chalal Isur. How could it be that Rav and Levi are arguing about something that is a machloket tanaim and not basically mention the machloket tanaim? Or why would they be arguing in a similar fashion to a machloket tanaim? You would expect them to take a position rather than stating their own position. That leads Tosafot to believe that everyone believes Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. It says that everybody agrees Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. And now you have to build the Shitot of Rav and Levi based on Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. So for Rav, that's easy because again, that's how they actually explained Rav's position before. Problem is for Levi, how could it be that Ein Isur Chal Al Isur? How does he have that Siruf over here? He writes, Levi Amalecha Afagav Deba Alma Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. Even though generically or generally I believe Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, Hachamode, the Isur Chal Al Isur. This is an exception to that rule. The Gali Kra B'Nevela. Because the Pasuk tells us by Nevela of a special din of Chelev Nevela V'Chelev Trefa. There the din is that even though Chelev is already a sur, Nevela devolves upon it. There's a special Pasuk that tells us in Ve'ikra Zayin, V'Chelev Nevela V'Chelev Trefa Ya'aseh L'Chol Melacha V'Chol Lo Tochlu. And from there we learn, why does it say Chelev Nevela V'Chelev Trefa? To tell you that the din of Nevela can coexist with the issue of Chelev, and it can coexist with the issue of Trefa. That teaches you that in this particular issue, Nevela has the capacity to be Isur Chal Al Isur, because it says, Bacholo Tuchlu, seems to be from an issue of Nevela. And from that, Levi is going to extrapolate that, Behuadin, Dechayel Nami, Isur Nevela, Atameya. To say, just like over there, Nevela overcomes the problem of Chelev, it also overcomes the problem of Behema Atameya. And it is Isur Chal Isur in this particular situation. So Bali HaTosafot basically suggests that this is an exception to the rule of Ein Isur Chal Isur, but generically, Rav and Levi agree that Ein Isur Chal Isur. Here, Levi says you're dealing with one of those unique cases where there is Isur Chal Isur, which is Nevela is a superpower type of Isur. And since we know from the Torah that it can overcome the problem of Ein Isur Chal Isur by Chelev, so too it can overcome the problem by the issue of Behemat Meyah. Now just the Karen Ara happens to point out that you have to say that Levi believes Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, not only generally, but even by Nisur Kolel. Because there's a difference between Tmeyah and Chelev. By Chelev, the only thing that's a sur in the animal are the fats. Then you have the din and the vela that devolves upon it. The nevela affects all the basar and the Chelev. That's Nisur Kolel. So there you might have argued that that's why we say that Nevela overcomes the problem of Ein Isur Chal Isur by Chelev is because it's an Isur Kolel. Then by the case of Tmeah, that's not true. Because there, Nevela and Tmeah affect the same things as the animal. Just like the animal is completely Asur by Tmeah, it's also completely Asur by Nevela. What you have to say is that Levi believes that Ein Isur Chal Isur applies even to an Isur Kolel. Therefore, when you say that the Isur Nevela devolves upon Chelev, even though it's an Isur Kolel, meaning that it was a sur and it would not have worked because of Ein Isur Chal Isur, nevertheless, the Torah says it works. So therefore, now I can prove to you that Nevela has this power to overcome the problem or the deficit of Ein Isur Chal Isur, even by Isur Kolel, but also over here by the case of Nevela and Tmeah. So that's how Tosafot explains this machloket, as being less fundamental, but more about whether this is an exception to the rule, or is this not an exception to the rule? Can Nevela devolve upon the Isur of Tmeah? Then Ravasi comes along and says, Torim Natsman, Utmeim Natsman. Torim are by themselves, and Tmeim are by themselves. So now, first of all, Ravasi's position is very unclear. He's not telling you anything that we didn't see until now. I mean, Rav said the same statement, he just said in the context of differentiating between Tuma and Achila. Ravasi makes the statement without any context around it, so we don't know exactly what he's saying, and that's what the Gemara says now. Ikadamre pliga de Rav. Some say that he argues on Rav's position. Ve'ikadamre lo pliga. And some people say that he's not arguing on Rav. If you say that he's arguing on Rav, that's because his statement is generic. Torim are always by themselves. Tmeim are always by themselves. That means that they're not mitzareif. Not for Achila, like Rav said, but also not for Tuma. And that's why it means that he argues on Rav. On the other hand, you could say that he doesn't argue on Rav. When he says Torim Latzman or Tmeim Latzman, then he's referencing solely to the issue of Achila. But by Tuma, he agrees with Rav that they can't be mitzareif. So there you have a uncertainty as to what the position of Rav Asi is, whether he's agreeing with Rav, or he's Rav plus, which is that he thinks that, yeah, it doesn't work for Achila, but also doesn't work for Tuma. Now, for Rav and Levi, the Mishnah, when it says that they velot are mitzarfim zo and zo, then he gives the explanation for that. According to Levi, that's by everything. By the case of Rav, he'll have to explain it narrowly in the situation of Tuma, not by Achilah, all the velot are mitzaref. But for Rav Asi, who thinks that nothing is mitzaref here, how's he going to explain the Mishnah of Kohen velot mitzarfim zo and zo? Then you have to explain it that it means all the velot Torot are mitzaref, two with themselves, and all the velot tmeot are mitzareif with themselves. You're going to have to explain the Mishnah in a way that makes it possible that Rav Asi will fit in. And that means that you have to say that mitzarfin over here doesn't mean mitzarfin in between the two categories of Torah and Tmeah, but within its own category, on the velot are mitzarfot. Then Tosafot then asks, what's the logic behind Rav Asi? We understand by the Machloket Rav and Levi, which is the question of Isur Chal al Isur, Ein Isur Chal al Isur. So Rav says, Ein Isur Chal al Isur, so therefore, the issue of Nevela does not devolve upon the Beima Tmeya. Therefore, you don't have the same Isurim. That's why you can't be mitzarev them. But for Tumas, as far as Tumas is concerned, both the Nevela Torah and Nevela Tmeya is mitamei. Why should they not be able to be mitzareif? Again, for Rav and Levi, you can explain it. Levi says Isur Chal al Isur, says everything's mitzareif. Or according to the Baal HaTosafot, this is an exception to the rule of any Isur Chal al Isur, but then still, everything's mitzareif. By Rav, he says only by Achilah it's not mitzareif. By Tumah, it's mitzareif. Rav Asi all of a sudden comes along and possibly says that even by Tumah, they're not mitzareif. Where does he get such a concept that Tumah should not be mitzareif over here? The Tosafot gives one answer, which is, Yeshlamar kadas kasavar, kevin dinyan achila lo mitztarfe, dinyan tuma nami lo mitztarfe. The one possibility is he thinks there's a correlation between the tziruf by achila and the tziruf by tuma. Since it doesn't work by achila, it also doesn't work by tuma. And that might be reinforced by the fact that the source of tumat nevela by each one of them is different. So not only are we saying, according to this view of Rav Asi, that we say whatever is true by Achilah, that they have a different din, so too by Tuma, but even within Tuma, they are the psukim that make it in Ve'ilat Tmeah, there are different psukim that make it true by Ve'imat Tmeah and Ve'imat Torah, that they both have Tumat Nevelah. And maybe there's a difference, or maybe the din is different, or the Tuma is different, and therefore they cannot be combined. So that's also maybe further evidence of the fact that they should be considered separate dinim of Tuma, and they cannot be mitzareif. And the Griz just adds to enhance that, that the reason that a nevela of a Beima Torah is Tmeya is because it wasn't shechted. The Ishchita is what generates the nevela, and that's why they're Tmeim. On the other hand, the Beima Tmeya is Tmeya, not because it wasn't shechted, but inherently because it died, it has a din of Tuma. Therefore, the Tuma derives from different factors. And that would also be a reason to say that they should not be mitzareif, because the Tuma Nevela, even though it's the same Tuma in a sense, it derives for a different reason. And that makes it that they should be unable to combine in order to make a single shiur of Nevela. And even though in the upcoming Mishnah, we're going to say that things that have the same shiur do combine, the Baal HaTosafot over here suggests that Rav Asi, according to this view, we'll have to say that it's only by Shvatzim that we say that, where the Achila and the Tuma are correlated. But over here, where the Achila and the Tuma are not correlated, even though the Tuma is the same Shior, they're not going to combine because the Achila din is different. By Torim, you can eat them. By Tmeim, you can't eat them when they were alive. And therefore, since there's a difference in their Achila, there's also going to be a difference in their Tuma. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Meitvei, bring a bright Tosefta by Me'ilah, Mitat, para, a para that is dead, v'chaye gamal, and a gamal that's alive, ein mitzarfim zeim ze. They cannot be mitzareif together. Ha, what you would infer from that is, mitat shnehem mitzarfim. If they had they both been dead, then it would have been mitzareif. V'kasha l'ravasi. That is a problem for Ravasi. So the way that the Gemara assumes it don't now is that for Rav, you could have gotten out of the problem and said, yeah, ha mitat shnehem mitzarfim, we're talking about tuma. And by Tuma, I agree that they're mitzareif, and this whole Tosefta is speaking about Tuma. And that's the way that Miuchas the Rashi says, that the Gemara here only asked on Rav Asi, and it's only on Rav Asi the Lishna Kama. According to Rav Asi, who argues on Rav across the board, then we say this is a problem, because he has no way of explaining the Tosefta, by which you can have two dead things, a para and a gamal, be mitzareif. And since you can't find a case of tziruf, that's why it's a problem for Rav Asi. But if Rashi explicitly says that for Rav, it's not a problem, Rav's going to explain it as a case of Tumah. Now, what is the scenario here? So the Miyuchas to Rashi explains that you have here a case of something that fell away from a para. A para is a kosher animal that died. So obviously there you're speaking about Nevela. You're dealing about an Easter Achilav Nevela and an Easter Tumav Nevela. By the Gamal that is alive, you have different possibilities as to what happened over here. Something came away from the Gamal while it was alive, and we're saying it's not Mitzterek. So Rashi seems to indicate that the problem is Eiver Menachai. So you have Eiver Menachai from the Gamal, and now you're trying to combine it with Nevela from the Para. And what we're saying is no go, because there are different issues. Eiver Menachai is different than Basar Nevela. They don't combine. It implies that for Mitah, had they both been dead, they would have been able to combine. And there, Rav says, that's speaking about Tumah. Levi will say it's speaking about Tumah or Achilah, that they can combine. And then Ravasi is left in a bind, which is, what do I do with the fact that they're both dead and they're Mitztaref? So the Gemara says, Kashla Ravasi, Ema ha chaye shnehem mitztarfim. The diok that you made is incorrect. You made a diok that one alive, one dead, and therefore the diok you made is that both dead, then they are mitzareif. Let's not say that. Let's say that one alive, one dead, they're not mitzareif. Both of them alive, they are mitzareif. And it's mani, Rabbi Yehuda, davar, Eiver Menachai noeg, bitmea. And it's the sheet that Rabbi Yehuda who says that Eiver Menachai is relevant by beima tmea. In that even though it already is a sur because of Behemat Me'ah. Nevertheless, Eiver Menachai still has impact on a Behemat Me'ah. The Chachamim disagree with this and say there is no Eiver Menachai by Behemat Me'ah because it's already a Behemat Me'ah. So Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees and says Eiver Menachai has application by a Behemat Me'ah, so then we can say that the Chaye Shnehem are Mitztarfim. And that's the Chiddush of the Braita, that it is like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is a din of Eiver Menachai by Behemat Me'ah. That'll get Ravasi out of the problem. Aval, so then what is the conclusion you're coming to based on this explanation is that Mitat Shnehem, Mai, what about if they both died? What would be the din? The answer would be, Lo Mitztarfei. They would not be Mitztarfei. It says, Im Kein Ma'iria Derohit Betani, why did the Braita jump to write Mitat Para V'Chaye Gamal? Why does it write that case? Ha, afilu mitat shnehem, lo mitztarfei. It would be much bigger chiddush to tell us that if both of them are dead, they're not mitztarfei. To tell us one's alive, one's dead, and they're not mitztarfei is a much smaller chiddush than to say when both of them are dead. And if you believe that both of them are dead, they're not mitztarfei, that would have been a much better chiddush to speak about in the brightness. So why did the brightness jump to the case of echad v'chaya, one alive and one dead, when it could add both of them dead and be a bigger chiddush? Ve'otanyo. And the problem is that the Tosefta continues. It says the following. Chatzi zayit para b'chaya, chatzi zayit gamal b'mitata. If a half kazayit while it's alive, half kazayit when it is dead, they aren't mitztarfim. Aval. And here it says explicitly, chatzi zayit mi para, chatzi zayit mi gamal, ben b'chaya, ben b'mitata, mitztarfim. So now you have a bright or a tosefta that seems to indicate, so ben b'chayim ben mitan mitztarfim, which makes it sound like if you explain it as if one is alive and one is dead, or one is dead and one is alive, and now you have a problem of kasha resha a seifa. And now the resha and the seifa are in contradiction, because the resha says that if you have one alive and one dead, they aren't mitztarfim. Yet the seifa is saying that if you have them, ben b'chayim, ben mimitatan, sounds like either way, whether they're alive or whether they're dead, they are mitztarif. That means all combinations. Or it's a combination of b'chayim, ben mitatan, they're both b'chayim, both mimitatan, or one is b'chayim and one is b'mita. Sounds like all combinations work here. That's the case. You have a stira with the resha, and that's what Tosafot points out, that this is not just a problem for Ravasi, this is also a problem internally in the Braita. How do we reconcile the discrepancy between the seifa of the Braita and the resha of the Braita? And that's the answer of the Gemara, Elalav, Shmamina, Mitat Shnehem, Mitztarfim, which means that the explanation of Mitatan and Chayehem is not any combination or any permutation. It means if they're both alive or they're both dead, they can't be Mitztarif. And then that would then reconcile with the resha, And once that reconciles with the Reisha, it becomes now a big problem for Vavasi. Because now that we've solved the problem in the internal sphere of the Braita, we've now left a huge problem for Ravasi, which is that both Bechayim and Mitatam, which means when both are alive or both are dead, they are Mitzdareif, and both of them dead being Mitzdareif is a problem for Ravasi. Because Ravasi's explanation is not tenable for two reasons. One is that the Braita, if you tell us, is being Mitayek, from one alive, one dead, to tell you that both alive are Mitzdareif, that means that you believe that both dead are not Mitzdareif, the Braita should have written that. That's a bigger Chiddush. Number two is, if you believe that both of them are dead, they are not Mitzdareif, then what are you going to do with the Seifa? The Seifa says, Chatzik Zayit are not Mitzdareif, but Bichaya Ubimita Mitzdarfim. If they're both alive or both dead, then they are Mitzdareif. Because according to you, the Reisha says that Mita is not Mitzdareif, and the Seifa is saying that Mita is Mitzdareif. Ela Lav Shmamina, it must be, the conclusion from the Tosefta is, Mitat Shnehem Mitzdarfim. That when both of them are dead, they are Mitzdareif. And now we have a big problem for Ravasi. So Ravasi will answer, Amar Lecha Ravasi, Haitana Savar, this Tana believes, Isur Chal Al Isur. This Tana believes that Isur Chal Al Isur, whereas I subscribe to any Isur Chal Al Isur. So that'd be the difference, meaning that according to Rav, the reason that it didn't work over here, or the reason you were not able to be Mitzdareif them, was because of the fact of Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. Ravasi is just Rav plus. He's saying Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, so there's no din b'achila, and he's saying also by Tumah, the same din applies. But this Tana believes Isur Chal Al Isur. Since Isur Chal Al Isur, then he can have the issue of Vela, the Vav upon a Beimat Mea, and that's why the Beimat Mea and the Beimat Torah can be Mitzdareif, because they both have a din of Vela. And since they're both the same Isur, they can be Mitzdareif for Achila, they can be Mitzdareif for Tumah. I don't agree with that position. So, yes, that Tana is saying it, but that Tana is premised on a position that I don't subscribe to. I subscribe to the fact that Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, and he thinks that Isur Chal Al Isur. That's why he comes to a different conclusion than I come to. The Braita's holding of that position of Isur Chal Al Isur, that's why he has Nevela by both animals. I don't subscribe to that. Since I don't subscribe to that, I don't agree with the conclusion of the Braita, or that's why I disagree. And there are plenty of Tanaim that support my contention that Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, and I don't have to then agree with this Braita, or this Braita is not a question for me. That's the way that Rashi reads the Gemara. That we are speaking about Nevela and Eiver Min Achai. Nevela and Eiver Min Achai cannot be Mitzdareif. They cannot be joined together. And that's why the Braita says, when you have a Para Meta and a Gamal Chai, you can't be Mitzdareif then, because you're dealing with different Isurim, dealing with Eiver Min Achai on one side, and you're dealing with Nevela on the other side. That's why it can't be Mitzdareif. But if they're both the same Isur, which is both of them dead, both of them alive, then they can't be Mitzdareif. At least according to Rabbi Yehuda, when both of them are alive, because of Eiver Min Achai applies to non-kosher and to kosher animals, and that's why they can be Mitzdareif. When they're dead, you can combine them because they're both Nevelot in that case. It's a Nevela for Beima Tmea, Nevela for Beima Tehora. So now the Balei HaTosafot read the Gemara completely differently. They start out with the possibility that the explanation is like that of Rashi. And then the only question here, according to the way Rashi's reading it, is that the question's on the Lishna of Ravasi that disagrees with Rav. But according to the Lashon that agrees with Rav, you don't have a problem, because Rav can say that the Braita is talking about Tumah. I'm speaking about Achila, where they're not Mitzdareif, but Tumah, I agree they're Mitzdareif. And the Lashon of Ravasi that agrees with Rav will give the same answer. And that's supported by the fact that the Gemara only answers on behalf of Rav Asi and does not answer on behalf of Rav. Sounds like the whole problem is with Rav Asi, and it's only according to the Lashon of Rav Asi that he argues on Rav, and the answer is for Rav Asi, or Amalekha Rav Asi. Rav has nothing to do with this. There's no question on Rav whatsoever. That's the explanation that we saw in Rashi. Tosafot then dismissed that, because how can Rav really set up this Braita as speaking about Tumah? Says, I can prove to you that that cannot be the case, that Rav will explain the Braita as being Tumah, because the Braita must be speaking about Achila. Because what are your options over here? Because if it's Tumah, then there is no Tumah by the Chayei HaGamal. What are your options in terms of tumah for a gamal that is alive? It's either basar minachai, and basar minachai is not mitameh. Iver minachai is mitameh, but basar minachai is not mitameh. So that can't be what you're speaking about here. Ah, you want to say that it's iver minachai? Wait a minute. You're talking about a gamal. Iver minachai is not applicable to a beimatmeah, according to the Chachamim. That's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. But according to the Chachamim, there is no din of iver minachai by a non-kosher animal. So he says, okay, so let's say it's speaking about Rabbi Yehuda, and it's iver minachai from a gamal that has a din of tumah. Then why do you need a tziruf? Because iver minachai is bekoshuhu. Iver minachai is mitamei as long as it's an iver. So why do you need basar over here? What do you need the para for if the gamal is already iver minachai? So then Tosafot speculates and says, maybe it's a case where the iver only includes gidim and atzamot and is missing the basar. Because in order to be an iver, you need all three component parts. You need gidim, atzamot, and basar. So let's say it's missing the basar, and the para makes it up, or it consolidates together. He says, umikom akom kasha. We have a din that if you have an iver minachai that's split in half, cannot be combined in order to make a single unit. The Gemara's diok out of this was, okay, by mitat para and gamal chai, they're not mitzaref. But that implies that if you brought a chai and a chai together, they would be mitzaref. Tosafot says, wait a minute, even by iver minachai from a single animal, if you divide the iver in half, and then put it back together, it's not mitame. Now you're going to tell me half an aver from this animal, half an aver from that animal is going to combine to make it tuma. Says doesn't work. So therefore, Tosafot comes to the conclusion that the Braita is speaking at achila. If the Braita is speaking about achila, then the question exists not only for Rav Asi, it also exists for Rav. And now you have a problem. Why is the Gemara only challenging Rav Asi and not challenging Rav? Because the Braita is speaking about Achila. So that he says, Zeno Chanavi, the Gemara is asking about Rav as well. So then why does the Gemara say Rav Asi will answer? Rav needs to answer the same thing as well. That is because this questioner assumes that Rav Asi and Rav are saying the same thing. And therefore the question is on Rav and Rav Asi. And Rav Asi is answering on behalf of Rav in it might even be better because Rav Asi is one of the Talmidim of Rav. In all likelihood, Rav Asi was saying over a memra from Rav. And if that's the case, then Rav and Rav Asi are basically synonymous. So Rav Asi answering is answering on behalf of Rav anyway. And therefore, questions on Rav and Rav Asi is answering, either because he's answering on behalf of Rav, or if any of he argues on Rav, he's arguing on Rav in the name of Rav. Because we know that Rav Asi is the Talmid of Rav, and therefore he's also answering on behalf of Rav. But that means that the question really is on Rav, and even on the second lashon of Rav Asi that says he doesn't argue, because the Braita is speaking about Achila. So this din of Tumah is not going to solve your problem over here, and therefore the question exists for both Rav and Rav Asi as to why you have here a din of Achila of two Meitim can be combined, and yet you're telling me that they can't be combined when it comes to Achila. And you can see that in the Shittim Mekubetzet Od Aleph, where he says that we should take Kasha the Rav Asi out of the Gemara, because based on this Balei HaTosafot, the question exists not only on Rav Asi, it also exists for Rav as well. And Tosafot is pressed into this saying that because he can't come up with a scenario in which you have Tumah, where they will be separate, and then when they're both dead, that they'll be able to combine. Or when they're both alive, they'll be able to combine. And that's because Basar Min Achai does not have Tumah. Iver Minachai doesn't have any shiur. If you're missing the basar, then you can't combine it from something else. Because even if you have an Iver from a single animal, you can't recombine it to make it into an Iver. Certainly when you're dealing with two animals, you couldn't combine them to make it into a single entity. Like Rabbi Yehuda says that Iver Minachai is no Iver Tumah. That doesn't help you because you're still taking a combination of two animals and trying to put an Iver together. That doesn't generate Tumah. But also it says, by definition, the Braitas or Tosefta speaking about Achila, and the whole Gemara here is a question on Rav and Rav Asi. So then the answer of the Gemara is that all the Amoraim here hold of Ein Isur Chalal Isur. This Braita holds of Isur Chalal Isur. Once you have Isur Chalal Isur, you have much broader ability to combine items because you can have Nevela devolve upon an animal that's Beimat Me'ah. And for that reason, you can combine these different isurim. Right now, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Achilat Shratzim Lokei Alav V'Kezayit. Comes eating Shratzim, you can get Malkot for eating it for a Kezayit. My time up. What's the reason that that would be the case? Achilat Ktiv Bo, the Isur of eating Sheretz, is written in a Lashon of Achila. It says in Parashat Shmini, Kol Oleich Al Gachon, Kol Oleich Al Arba, Ad Kol Marbe Raglayim, Kol Asheretz, Asheretz Al Aretz, Lo Tochlom, Kishek Etzim. So there you have a restriction against achila of a sheretz. And generically, or generally, when an Isra achila comes, achila, Chazal tell us, is associated with the kazayit. That's why Rav believes that it's a Isur achila that has a threshold shiur of a kazayit. Vahatani, Rav Yossi, be Rav Yechanina, kamei, de Rav Yochanan. Didn't we have Rav Yossi, Rav Yechanina, who was spelling out Mishnayot, Breitot, in front of Rav Yochanan? And he learned the following: Vivdal ben abeimah Torah litzmeya ben ofa tamei latoar velo teshaksu et nafshuk techem bebeimah ba'of b'chol asher tirmos al haaretz al adama asher yivdalti lachem litamei. This is a closing pasuk that's found at the end of Parshat Kedushim that relates back to the opening that comes in Parshat Shmini to close out that unit, and the unit then has a summary pasuk that speaks about these distinctions or these havdalot. And in there it mentions havdalah between a kosher and non-kosher animal, a kosher and non-kosher bird. And then it mentions about lo shetaksu nafsechem. You shouldn't disgust yourself with behema, oaf, or any sheretz. And then it ends off the pasuk, asher yivdalti lachem letameh, those shretzim that are tmeim. So the beginning of the pasuk, which is speaking about kosher and non-kosher, is speaking about achila. And Tosfot adds the additional factor that lo tishaksu et nafshutechem, shikutz and nefesh, is particularly associated with achila. And therefore, the first half of the pasuk is speaking about achila, not just because it says kosher and non-kosher, but also because it says lo tishaksu et nafshutechem. The nefesh, or that which is ma'us to the nefesh, is when you ingest the item. It has nothing to do with the tumah. Tishaksu is a very strong language that's used for ingestion. It's not a language that you use in general with regards to tumah. Tumah is a defilement, but it's not inherently a shikutz a nefesh or ma'us. The latter part of the pasuk, which says, "Asher yivdalti lachem letameh," is speaking about tumah. That's the question that the Braita is asking. Potok ha'kadur b'achila, v'siyem b'tumah. The Braita says, why does it open up with an issue of achila, close with an issue of tumah? They must be coming to tell you that there's some correlation between the two. Ma tumah b'gadasha, av achila b'adasha. And just like Tumah has a threshold of a Hadasha, but that's learned from the Torah Tkonim or the Gemara Chagiga, Konogea Behem Itma. So then you would think you have to touch all of them. It says, Kol Sheipol Mehem Bemotam Itma. So you think even Mixatam. What about Behem? So how do you reconcile that? You have to touch a place that is Kekulam. And the Chachamim came to the conclusion that that's like a Kadasha, because by a Chomet, which is one of the eight Shratzim, the original creation, or when it's born, is the size of a kadasha. You have to have something that, when you touch it, it's the equivalent of a full-sized sheretz, which is a sheretz at birth. And the smallest one is the chomet, which is kadasha. If you touch that amount, you're going to be tamei. So to achilat sheretz, we also have a threshold of a kadasha. And now we're saying, just like tum'ah has a din of a kadasha, we're saying achilah is like a kadasha. The kalsei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan praised the Braita brought by Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanino, or basically this position that is being noted. If that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Achilat Shratzim is a din in Kadasha, not a din in Kezayit. It says here, Rekasha L'Rav. Shita Mikubetz, it says to take out Rekasha L'Rav. So Tosafot says, it's a question on Rav, but it's not a question on Rav, because that's Rabbi Yochanan, and this is Rav. Gavra, Gavra, Kermamit, you're asking from one position of Rabbi Yochanan, the position of Rav. Why would you ask such a question? Such a question doesn't really make sense. The Torah says that they have both what's called mistabra. Rabbi Yochanan has a drasha that makes sense, and Rav has a drasha that makes sense. The problem is, how do I reconcile two logical drashot? Rav says the word achila is used. Achila means a kazayit. Rabbi Yochanan says, I have a meshing of achila and tumah. Therefore, achila is like tumah, it's like kadasha. So they both gave you very good drashot. How do I reconcile between the drashot? So that's the nature of the Gemara's question. So therefore, he thinks that it's not a question necessarily on Rav. It's a question in general. How do we deal with these two drashot? So that's why you would eliminate the kasha l'rav. So Mar says, lo kasha, kan b'mitatan, kan b'chayen. The easy way to divide it is to say, depends what you're speaking about. If they're alive, then the din is kazayit, because there's no tumah when a sheretz is alive. When it's dead, when there's a din of tumah, then achila looks like tumah. So when it's dead, that's Rabbi Yochanan's drasha, that the achila looks like the tumah. Just like the tumah is kadasha, so do the achila is kadasha. The case of Rav, where he says achila is b'kazayit, that's the case where the sheretz is alive. By sheretz alive, there's no tumah. So then you're on the regular rules of achila, and regular rules of achila are kizayit. Amar le Abaye, veha Rav amatznitan koi. Doesn't Rav qualifying our Mishnah? Umatznitan kol shretzim ktani afilu b'mitatan. Our Mishnah says all shretzim are mitzareif. It does not differentiate between whether they're alive or dead. It says all shretzim are mitzareif. And Rav supposedly here is modifying or qualifying our Mishnah. Now, Rav never said that. Rav is just a statement. How does Abaye know that Rav was modifying the Mishnah? Here, both the Balei Tosafot and Rashi say that Abaye made an assumption or an extrapolation, which is, we found the previous statement of Rav, which is Amar Rav Lo Shanu Al Inyan Tuma, Balei Achila Tehorin Bifnei Atzman Tmein Bifnei Atzman. That was modifying the Mishnah. So now he extrapolated and said, oh, Rav's statement here, which is also about a topic of our Mishnah, must have been a qualification of the Mishnah. Now, in the end, the easy answer is, no, he didn't. But that's Abaye's assumption right now, which is that he did qualify the Mishnah. And based on that, he says, the Mishnah says that any shratzim have this din. And Rav's saying that achilat shratzim, whether it's alive or dead, has a din of kizayit. Now, we're going to skip the parentheses. As Rashi says, I don't have any idea how to explain what's in the parentheses. Therefore, Amalei Rabbi Yosef, who's Rabbi's Rebbe, says to him, Hai hi diyuka dilacho. You made the diuk, or you made the extrapolation that Rav's statement was modifying the Mishnah. Rav, shmaita ba'alma kamar. If you look at Rav just made an independent statement that had nothing to do with our Mishnah. And therefore the solution is a good solution. Habimitatan, habichayehin. That the difference between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan's drashot, which according to the Balei Tosafot are both logical, nevertheless, they're not a contradiction because one, which is Rav is speaking about when they're alive, and that's why the achila is a kazayit. Yochanan's speaking about when they're dead. When they have a din of tumah, that's kehadasha, so too the achila has a din of kehadasha. Now Gemara says, Kalsei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan praised the braita that was brought by Rabbi Yossi, by Rabbi Chanina. Meitevei, can you really say that? Ha'ivarin en lehen shiur. Afilu pachot mikazayit veila, pachot mikadasha min asheretz mitamim. This is what Tosafot quoted before, which is that there is no minimum shiur for Eivarin. Eivarin, since they're a whole entity, they have chashivut irrespective of their size. So by nevela, they don't need to meet the minimum threshold of a kezayit. And by sheret, they don't need to meet the minimum threshold of kehadasha. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan qualifying this brighter that we just quoted, says, ain't lokin alem elebi kezayit. You still don't get malkot for eating them until you hit a kezayit. So even though maybe for tumah, the size can be less than the threshold, nevertheless, their threshold size needs to be met in order to be chayav achila. Now, Rabbi Yochanan said this on the Braita. The Braita included two things. One is less than a kezayit of nevela, and less than a kezayit of sheretz. So now, if I look at it in that context, he's saying for tumah, that's correct. But for achila, they both need to meet the threshold of a kezayit. That means Rabbi Yochanan believes that in order to be chayav for achila on a sheretz, you need a kezayit. So now, Rabbi Yochanan is saying here a kezayit. Rabbi Yochanan before is saying that it's the same din as tumah, it's kehadasha. So why not answer the same way we did before? That's alive and that's dead. Over here we're speaking about alive, and over there he was speaking about dead. You can't do that here. Because over here it says, afilu pachot mikazayit nevela. Clear that the bright is speaking about a dead animal because it's speaking about a nevela. Nevela or an animal is mitameh only after it's dead. And therefore the bright is clearly speaking about dead animals and not live animals. That means the sheretz here is also dead. If the sheretz is dead, and Rabbi Yochanan's qualifying and saying, you only get it malkot at a kezayit, then we have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. Because before he's saying that a dead sheretz is a problem of achila, bikadasho, now he's saying that you need a minimum of a kezayit to get malkot. Samarava, muvdalim, dibera katuv. The pasuk is only speaking about those that have havdalah, that are unique, are distinct.
which is that the shvatzim are not one big category. There are the 8 shvatzim, which the Torah delineates. Those 8 shvatzim have a din of tumah and a din of isur achilah. The remainder of shvatzim in the world only have an issue of achilah. They don't have a din of tumah. There's only tumah with the shmona shvatzim. And that's what he's saying here. It says in the pasuk that asher yidalti lachem letameh, those shvatzim that I delineated to you that are tameim, that's only the shmona shvatzim. That's not all shvatzim. Or in essence, what we're saying is, by the shmona shvatzim, where they have a din of tumah, and their tumah is kadasha, there Rabbi Yochanan says the achilah is like the tumah. For all other shvatzim in the world, that's not true, because they don't have a din of tumah. Since they don't have a din of tumah, they're relegated to the regular din of achilah, which is a kedzayit. So therefore, even by dead shvatzim, only the 8 shvatzim that are dead have a din of kadasha by achilah to be chayav. Any other sherets would have a din of a kezayit, because they are not subject to tumah. The whole hekesh is tumah and achilah are equal, but you have to have tumah in order for achilah to be equal. And the pasuk does that by saying, asher yidalti lachem letameh. I'm only speaking about the shvatzim that I delineated for you. I'm only speaking about shvatzim that have a din of tumah. And those are only the shmona shvatzim, not all shvatzim. And you can't answer the way that we did now, for before also, that Rob was speaking about the case of Einan Mubdalim. Because if he's speaking about the case of Einan Mubdalim, he's not giving you any chiddush, because of course, Einan Mubdalim, that have no din in Tumah, and they have an Isur Achilah, that Isur Achilah is going to be associated with a Kizayit. So therefore, that can't be the explanation, and therefore, you must give an alternate explanation over here, which is the difference between Mubdalim and Einan Mubdalim, and the difference between Rav and Rav Yochanan is the difference between Bechayim or Bemitatam. But then, as Tosfot points out, that makes Rabbi Yochanan pshita. If Rabbi Yochanan speaking about Ein Mubdalim, then of course there's a din on Kezayit. So then what you have to say is that Rabbi Yochanan's statement is about the Behema, not the Shvatzim. And that then what precipitates the Gemara's question, maybe by Behema, you should also differentiate. Why is it by Behema that you have a Kezayit? Why don't you create a Hevdalah? So there's a difference between Mubdalim and Ein Mubdalim by Behema. Because Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush is that even though less than a kezayit by an Eiver min Achai creates tumah, nevertheless, you still need a sayit for achilah. But why? Why not say that there's a difference between the muvdalim and ein muvdalim? Just like you made such a distinction in the shvatzim, why don't you make that same distinction by beimat me'ah versus beimat Torah? Amalei ravada brava the rova elamiato. If that's the case, why don't you extrapolate that back to beimah? Nami lifagay ben mubdalit, shenu mubdalit. Maybe Behema should make the same thing. You have Behema and Sheretz in the same pasuk, and it says be'avdaltem, ben ha-Behema Torah litzmeah. So say there too, maybe the din of only applies to one set, and not to the other set. And the way that Rashi, or Miuchas the Rashi says over here, that the Havdalah goes the other way around. By the case of the Sheretz, it says, she'avdalti lachem litameh, that is separated out to be tameh. By animals, it's the other way around. Those that are separated out are the kosher animals. The majority of animals are not kosher. The Torah only specifies the limited number of animals that are tohorim. And therefore, when it says havdalah, havdalah means the kosher animals. And maybe now, the din of nevelah should only be applicable to kosher animals. The tumah vayebeima tohorah of tumat nevelah will be the size of a kezayit. But by beimat meah, that's not muvdalit, it would not be Tmeyah until there's more than a Kezayit, meaning until there's a Kebetza. Rashi doesn't make the next leap, but you could also then say that that would infect also the Achilah, and the Achilah would also have a higher threshold. Tosafot says it the other way around, that the way that he speculates similarly in the beginning, the way that Rashi explains it, and says that maybe by Behemah Torah, the threshold should be much lower, because by Eiver Min Achai, even a kosher who is Tameh. So that maybe the din of achilah should also be associated with the tumah, and therefore you should have an isra achilah even bekoshu. And only by a behemat me'ah, where there is no din of eiver min achai, there you would say that kezayit is the threshold. Amar lei, Rabbi responds to him, ki kameki shrachmana lebal tishaksu, aval lishiurim lo. The hekesh between behemah and sheretz in the pasuk is a limited hekesh. The hekesh is the bal tishaksu, that one who eats them is in violation of bal tishaksu. What it does not create a hekesh for is the dinim of tumah between sheretz and a behemah. And therefore, a behemah tmeah and Torah our hukash l'shvatzim is not to tell you that the shiur ben nevela muvdalet nevela shenu muvdalet, to tell you that one of them has a different size than the other. That's not what the pasuk's doing. The pasuk's only coming to tell you that bal tishaksu applies to shvatzim and beima, and therefore if you eat them, you're going to be chayav beima tmeya. And a vela for Bemei Torah, and a sheretz are all chayav b'dal ta'achshakzu, but that's it. It has nothing to do with the tumah. To tell you, oh, just like by the shratzim, we divide up between tumah of evdalti and enloh evdalti, so too by beimot, make a difference in tumah of evdalti. That's not the case. The case is simply that b'dal ta'achshakzu applies to all these items. Havdalah is uniquely associated with the shratzim, whereby you have a different din of tumah for a sheretz that is tamei, and a sheretz that is tahor. But by Ve'ima, Nevela is Nevela, and Nevela Torah and Tmeya will have the same shiur, which is a shiur of Kizai. If you believe that a Ve'ima Tmeya can become a Nevela, it will have the same shiur as a Ve'ima Torah, and we won't create any separation or distinction between them. Tosafot starts out explaining the Gemara like Rashi, and he just adds in the fact that maybe the Muvdalim will work actually the Chumrah rather than the Kula, like Rashi says. And then he finishes off the Gemara the way that Rashi did, which is that the Pasuk was not speaking about the issue of Tumah regards to the Havdalah in the beginning. It was only speaking about the issue of Tumah with regards to Sheretz, and Achilah with regards to Behemot. And then Tosafot concludes, V'zeu Dochuk Meod. He says that doesn't make a lot of sense. That explanation is very difficult in the Gemara over here, because the assumption of the questioner is that you could somehow connect between Achila and Tuma by Behema, even though it's pretty clear from the Pasuk that it's only speaking about Shvatzim. So therefore, he says that he thinks the explanation is the following. And that is that by Behema, there's no Havamina to say that Tuma and Achila are connected. Because, as the Pasuk lays out, and anybody who's reading the Pasuk can see that, that the issue of Tuma and Havdalah of Tuma is solely associated with Shvatzim and nothing to do with the Behema at the beginning. So that means that everybody agrees no correlation between Tuma and Achila by the Behema. Rather, the question is the following. Since we see by Shvatzim that there is a correlation between Achila and Tuma, so too by Behema, why don't we say the same thing? Even though you're not learning it from the Pasuk, the Shvatzim should be a Mari Malkom. Just like by the Shvatzim, there's a difference between Muvdalim and Ein Muvdalim. And by the Muvdalim, we have a correlation between Tuma and Achila. Not to say that there should be a distinction between Muvdalim and Ein Muvdalim by Behema, but just period. Once you establish that there is a correlation between Tuma and Achila, why don't we apply that to the Behema as well? If that's the case, by a Eber Min Achai, which has a lower threshold of Tuma, then Achila should also have a lower threshold with regards to it. And then why does Rabbi Yochanan say over here that you need a minimum of kazayit to be a chayav achila? And the answer to that question is that the hekesh between Behema and Shvatzim is only about the issue of bal tishaksu. It's not about the issue of tuma and achila. And so even though, yes, by Shvatzim, we have first of all muvdalim and ain muvdalim, which we know doesn't apply to Behema. And yes, even though we have the din that achila and tuma are correlated, which you might have thought you could apply through the hekesh to Behema, the answer is, Behema and Sheretz only have the hekesh for this particular din over here, which is the din of bal tishaksu. If you eat it, you're in violation of bal tishaksu. Other than that, the hekesh has no meaning in the context of the pasuk, and therefore you can't extrapolate the din of achila tuma correlation from Sheretz to Behema, and therefore by Behema, achila is governed by the normal rules of achila, which is a kazayit, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. By tuma, it's governed by the rules of tuma independently, so by Eber Min Achai, it has a lower threshold. By basar or other things, it has the regular threshold of a kazayit for tuma. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph.